Choir, we overuse that expression that we can now have the benediction, but we certainly can. It wasn't appropriate, the spirit you gave us and the mood to give you an applause, but let us applaud you now for what you did for us. Ray and I will get a message back to Mark Miller, the composer, for giving us this gift. I also want to thank the people who decorated the church last Tuesday, who came together for the hanging of the greens. I want to thank the youth for the trees and the wreaths and garlands that they gave us this Saturday. And thank you for those who supported them. And this, of course, the proceeds goes to help with their trips. There are, I think, about 6 more trees left and some garlands. If you are interested in getting some of those, or in wreaths, if you're interested in getting some, you can do so in the back and the parking lot. They'll be out there. You'll see them out there. And I want to thank those who attended the Tri-Faith service yesterday at Congregation Mikveh Israel with Rabbi Robert Haas and Imam Ibrahim Abdul Malik. It was a very special time together. A couple of years ago, I was visiting a parishioner who was in St. Joseph's Hospital. And as I was leaving St. Joseph's after the visit, I noticed that the hospital's gift shop was having a very special sale. They have a very cute gift shop at St. Joseph's, and unique gifts. And so I decided to go in and see what treasure I might discover. And in a basket were these little dolls called Dammit dolls. Are you familiar with them? How many of you have a Dammit doll? Not too many, I guess. So. I understand that our Claire Knight has made many a Dammit doll. I don't know if she's here today, is she? Oh, I'm sorry she missed today. This is what it says on the back of the doll. Whenever things don't go so well and you want to hit the wall and yell, here's a little Dammit doll that you can't do without. Just grip it firmly by the legs and find a place to slam it. And as you whack the stuffing out, yell, Dammit, Dammit, Dammit. I bought a whole bunch of these and gave one to every person who has to put up with me. This particular doll happens to be my wife, Sherry's, and it looks like she's wearing it out. Christmas is coming, dear. I'll get you a new one. You know, I like the idea of a Dammit doll because when someone is going through a rough time, it's very important for the person to express his or her feelings, to be open and honest without hurting someone else. The Dammit doll, of course, allows people to do this. But did you know that the Dammit doll is biblical? Sometimes we get the idea that people of faith always have to be up, that we always have to feel good and be strong and in control. Not so. In fact, this idea has gotten a lot of people in trouble, big trouble. When we suppress our feelings, when we don't talk about things that are troubling us, are things that make us angry or upset or depressed. The feelings can come out in unhealthy, destructive ways, often hurting others and often hurting ourselves. Suppressing feelings can also turn people against religion or the church. because we have these feelings and we feel embarrassed or ashamed about them. And so we figure that the church is not a place for us. One of the best things I discovered in my time in seminary was in a class about the Hebrew Scriptures. And when we focused on the book of Psalms, we learned, of course, about the Psalms of praise and the Psalms of thanksgiving. I had heard about these Psalms growing up in the church. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into God's presence with singing. We know those Psalms. What I didn't know, what I didn't hear about in my church growing up, was the next type of psalm the professor talked about. These psalms are called laments, L-A-M-E-N-T-S. And these laments are just the opposite of the psalms of thanksgiving and the psalms of praise. These people are really upset. They're hurt. They're scared. They're frustrated. They all have dammit dolls and are using them. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Psalm 13. Awake, Lord, why do you sleep? Do not reject us forever. Why do you forget our misery and oppression? Psalm 44. My God, why have you forsaken me? Psalm 22. Yes, the words Jesus used on the cross were words from a psalm, one of the laments. Our text today is not from the book of Psalms. It's from the book of Isaiah. But it too is a lament. This particular passage is a cry of pain seeking understanding. Isaiah cries out for God's help. The people have sinned and now they feel that God has abandoned them. Isaiah's words were composed sometime after the Jews were conquered by the Babylonians in 586 BCE. Jerusalem has become a wilderness. The temple is in ruins. Israelites have been killed or have been taken into slavery to Babylon. And they wonder, why didn't God save us? Why did God help us before and not now? What is going on? Today is the first day of the Christian year. Today is the first Sunday in the season of Advent. And we begin with weeping. We begin with frustration and with laments. We begin with yearning, with wanting things to be better, with hoping that God will intervene in our lives and make things better. The Christian faith is a thing of unspeakable joy, said C.S. Lewis, but it does not begin with joy, but rather in despair. And then he says, it is no good trying to reach the joy without first going through the despair. That's what Advent does for us. It connects us to reality. It connects us to our true feelings. We need it so badly, especially in our tinsel, commercial, artificial, violent world. For Advent is not an exercise in let's pretend. It's an ongoing journey into deeper and deeper reality. It's where we need to begin. But Advent is not only about expressing our reality, expressing our pain and suffering. It's also about being open to something new. something different. The coming of Advent jolts us with the invasive news that it's time to think about fresh possibilities for deliverance and for human wholeness. For instance, Isaiah reminds us that we need to be willing to be like clay in the potter's hand, willing to allow God to shape us, to mold us into the people God wants us to be, the people who can bring the kingdom of God on earth. Advent is so crucial. And yet it's challenging for us to experience because Advent involves waiting and longing and hoping. We live, of course, in a microwave society where we want and expect things now. We live in a culture that is Adventless. Christmas starts November 1st. Right after Halloween, and it certainly doesn't start any later than Thanksgiving, because the emphasis is on selling products and making money. Nothing wrong with making money. We need money, but we need Advent more. So church tradition asks us to take 4 weeks. Just 4 weeks. The 4 weeks before Christmas Day to reflect, to pray, to fast, to be willing to allow God to mold you and me into vessels that can help create the kingdom of God on earth. So Advent is not just about reflecting on what it meant for Jesus to have been born into this world as we hear the ancient story over and over again each year. That's certainly a major part of it. But it's also about reflecting on and yearning for the time when Jesus comes again. It's about us longing for the day when the wolf and the lamb will live together. The day when justice will roll on like a river and righteousness like a never-failing stream. And Advent is also about us waiting, getting prepared, so we can be co-creators with God in creating the kingdom. It's waiting for and being attentive to the moments in our lives when Christ shows up. When parts of the kingdom break through into our world. Those who experienced the tri-faith service yesterday experienced one of these moments. Jews, Muslims, Christians, worshiping together, praying together, singing together, laughing together, eating together, learning from one another, loving each other. Part of Advent is waiting expectantly for these moments of the kingdom of God and embracing them. You know, it's easy to see Christ showing up in events like the tri-faith service, but I'm sure Christ was also showing up at the Christmas tree pickup yesterday and at the hanging of the greens on Tuesday. That's why we have to be waiting expectantly. Looking for the opportunities that Christ is coming in our midst and helping us experience the kingdom. And we will have such an experience today as we break bread together. And after the service, as we fellowship together at coffee hour. Be looking for it. Expecting the moments when Christ shows up. When the kingdom comes and breaks through into our reality. And so we pray for the hope of Advent that God continues to break into the ordinary, bringing the promise of peace, hope, and restored life. But remember, in order to have hope, we first have to know why we need hope. We have to name the problem. We have to recognize the challenge, the pain, the longing. Without doing that, we can't get hope. because we don't even know we need hope. So the first step to experiencing hope is not being in denial. It's to name the issues and to admit that we need help. The first step can often be quite messy and, yes, even depressing, but it is the way to life. You know, a number of years ago, I was having a very difficult time getting into the spirit of Christmas. I can't remember what all was going on in my life at that time, but I felt numb. Christmas Day was about 2 weeks away, and I found myself at Walmart. I wasn't there to get gifts, though the store was filled, of course, with gifts and decorations. I went to get bug spray. And so I'm standing in a very long line holding bug spray and carrying a sour disposition when I notice a display of Christmas CDs. I was tired of hearing Christmas music on the radio, but I also knew that music can soothe the savage beast, and I was a beast who needed to be soothed. And so I thought to myself, why don't you go over and see if there's a CD that has some different songs than your typical Christmas music. Music you're not sick and tired of. See if there's something that might lift your spirits. And so I got out of line and moseyed over to the display and started rummaging through the stacks of CDs. And they, of course, had the regulars, Perry Como, Johnny Mathis, Bing Crosby. I love those guys, but not this year. I needed something different, something to wake me up, something to get me out of my funk. I eventually found two CDs that I thought I'd try. One was the Jethro Tull Christmas album. That's one you don't see every day. I didn't know Jethro Tull had a Christmas album. I played it, it was nice, but it still didn't do it for me. The other CD had a variety of African-American artists singing traditional Christmas songs. And one song was a very cool arrangement of I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus, sung by the Impressions. And it had some real giddy-up to it and some fabulous harmonies, but that didn't do it for me either. The song that did it, the song I needed to hear, the song that spoke to me and lifted my spirit was I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas, sung by Otis Redding, the King of Soul. Otis Redding's version of I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas is like one you've never heard before. He turns it into a soul song. Soul music, you know, is a combination of rhythm and blues with gospel music. And so Otis sings this soul song with tremendous heart and passion. He's not just dreaming, he's hoping, he's longing, he's wanting something good to happen. I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas is a perfect soul song, and it's a perfect Advent song, because it's about longing for something, yearning for something, needing something. And the way Otis sings it, you know that he's not just dreaming about white snow on the ground during a December day. He's dreaming of something better, something more. He's dreaming of good times, better times. For Otis, a white Christmas is a metaphor. He's dreaming of people getting along. He's dreaming for a time when people are not homeless or hungry or in pain. He's yearning for the kingdom of God. And when I heard Otis express his feelings, it helped me get in touch with my feelings of frustration and longing, my longing for God to come, my longing for God's presence, longing for things to be better. And somehow, through this expressing of my feelings and acknowledging them, as did the psalmist as did Isaiah, I felt better. And so it wasn't a fast, upbeat, happy song that I needed to lift my spirits. I needed a soul song. I needed a song that helped me express my pain and frustration, my longing. You see, that's Advent. And we need it to experience the joy of Christmas. And so let us all express our longing for God, our longing for a better world. Then let us allow God to shape us and mold us to work for the kingdom, knowing full well that Christ will come. Amen and amen.